Good afternoon, ladies. We are studying today Parashat Chaye Sara. Our parasha is following one of the most important stories of the whole Tanakh. The story that we read in last week's parasha is the story of Akedat Yitzhak. If we can argue that this was the greatest feat, mitzvah, that any human being ever did, we're still eating from this mitzvah that Avraham Avinu did 3,500 years ago, Akedat Yitzhak. We still always mention it to God. Don't forget the Akedat Yitzhak. Remember the Zechut, and we still benefit from it. According to our tradition, Avraham Avinu was tested 10 times, and he passed all the tests. I want to make a point. When it says he passed the tests, it doesn't mean that he got a 65. When we were young, we took the regents. So on our report card, it didn't matter what you got on the regents. If you got a 65 on the report card, they wrote P. If you got a 64, they wrote F. If you got 100, they wrote P. It doesn't matter. So we didn't say he passed the test. It means he got 100. Passing in God's understanding means it was 100% flawless, without any deficiency. It means he got 100, perfect score on his test. And then we open up our parasha, and we read about the death of Sarah Imenu. Sarah Imenu dies at the ripe old age of 127 years old. It's old, but I guess it's young if it's his wife. He wants his wife to live forever. Now, I want you to just know, many people are not aware of this. After the Akedah, let me start again. Avraham and Sarah lived in Hebron. Anybody ever went visited Israel? Hebron is where the Maharat HaMachpelah is. Or they call it Kiryat Arba. It's still around today. You must go see it. It's old and it's very biblical when you go there. They don't even have such good roads to get down to the Maharat HaMachpelah. It's like a lot of windy roads, and they're dirt roads, if you know what I'm talking about. That's where Avraham Avinu lived. That was his place of residence. The Akedat Yitzhak was in Jerusalem. It's not that far from Hebron to Yerushalayim. Maybe by car it's 20 minutes. By camel, maybe it's like an hour and a half or 2 hours. I never took a camel there, but I'm assuming that it's a day trip. It doesn't take that long. Actually, the Torah tells us it took 3 days for him to get from Hebron to Yerushalayim. It should have taken much quicker, but Borei Olam made it foggy, so it took Avraham a little longer to find his destination. They didn't have MapQuest or a GPS and things like that. After the Akedah is over, Avraham sends Yitzhak immediately to the yeshiva. He doesn't even make a party for him or a celebration that he passed the test. It's something that we would not have done. We would have told our children, after they pass such a big test, you deserve a vacation. Maybe you should go to a spa for a few days. Go take a massage. Go relax yourself. You deserve it. The great tzaddikim, whenever they did something good, they wanted to keep the momentum. So they don't want to stop and go traffic. So you did something good, no, now go to yeshiva, go study more, to keep the velocity of the zikuyot moving. But where did Avraham go? After the Akedah was over, Avraham did not go back to Hebron to see his wife. Avraham made a trip to Be'er Sheva. Just think of the map of Israel in your brain. Be'er Sheva is all the way in the south, all the way at the end of the map. From Hebron to Be'er Sheva, or from Yerushalayim to Be'er Sheva, a very, very far distance. Where in Jerusalem was the Akedat Yitzhak exactly? Which neighborhood? The Akedat Yitzhak was where the Beit HaMikdash was going to be. Today, unfortunately, there's a mosque over there. Right on the spot of the mosque, that's where the Akedat Yitzhak took place, right behind the Kotel HaMa'arabi. That was a very holy place before the temple was built. That was the same exact spot where Adam was created. Adam Arishon, God took dirt from that spot of the Kotel behind it, and he created Adam Arishon. That's the same spot when Noah came off the Teva, and he built a Mizbeach. He built an altar, a sacrifice, on that spot. That's the same spot as Akedat Yitzchak. That's the same spot in a few weeks when Yaakov Abinu had his famous dream with the 12 stones and they all turned into one stone and the ladder and the angels going up and down. He dreamt that dream on the Temple Mount. So there's a great history on that spot over there. It's not a. It's not just because there was a temple. A lot of other important events happened there in history. Why does Abraham go to Be'er Sheva? What's in Be'er Sheva? I was in Be'er Sheva a few years ago. There's nothing in Be'er Sheva. It's unfortunately, it's a slummy neighborhood over there. There's nothing going on. Ever since Abraham left, it hasn't been the same. Abraham had a hotel chain. The first hotel chain was not Hilton. It was the chain of Abraham Avinu. It was called Eshel. Eshel stands for Achila, Shetiya, Lina. Eating, drinking, and lodging. And he opened up these hotels all over the map. How much was the price? Nothing, no charge. Everybody gets comped. And it's not a casino. You don't have to gamble. There's no gambling. You get comped. Free room, free everything. Free food, 3 meals a day. So that if you eat also if you want. So what's the deal? Who would not want to stay in this hotel? One thing, if you stay in the hotel, you have to go to the Shi'ur of Avraham Avinu. He gives a class every day. He gives a lecture. You must attend the lecture. It's like the timeshare. You have to go to the Dirashah. But Avraham Avinu wasn't selling you a condominium. Avraham Avinu would speak to them about God. Many of these people never heard about God. They worship the sun, the moon, the stars. And Avraham Avinu would give them Dirashot, and he was well-spoken. He was unbelievable. He was a great genius, as he was. And he would get the customers. The people would go in believing Avodah Zarah, and they would leave believing in one God. And he taught students, and he put his students in these hotels. And they would attract thousands and thousands of students. It was a network of bringing people back to monotheistic beliefs. The first hotel that he built was in Be'er Sheva. That was his original first, the headquarters of the chain was in Be'er Sheva. So after he finished the Akedat Yitzchak, he wanted to bring God a sacrifice. So what better place? He wanted to go back to his headquarters of Chesed, which he felt was a holy place. Wherever a person does a mitzvah, that place becomes holy. The Gemara says there was two rabbis, Rabbi Amir and Rabbi Asir. They lived in Tiberias. There were 13 synagogues in Tiberias in that time. But they would pray, not in the synagogues, they would pray in the Beit HaMidrash where they studied. Why? Because where they studied, they did a mitzvah. Studying is a mitzvah. So the prayers are accepted in a place where you do a mitzvah. Therefore, it's always better to pray in the same place that you learn. Because you did a mitzvah in that place, your tefillot are more accepted. Therefore, Avraham Avinu, where is his chesed operation? Where's the central location? Be'er Sheva. That's his mitzvah. So he went all the way to the south of Israel to bring a sacrifice to God. Thank you for giving me the zechut of the Akedah. Thank you that nothing happened. Thank you for all the blessings. Wonderful. While he's in Be'er Sheva, he gets a message. What's the message? Come on quickly, come back to Hebron. What happened? Sarah died. See, you didn't learn it like that in school. In school you learned it that he went from the Akedah and he went home and he saw Sarah on the floor. No. He was in Be'er Sheva when Sarah died. The messenger came to Be'er Sheva and said, you better come home quickly. Something happened to your wife. Our rabbis tell us that this was one of the tests of Avraham. The Ramban actually says it. Now, he only was tested 10 times. So maybe this is one of the 10 tests, or maybe this is like 10A, 10B. This is like the follow-up of the Akedat Yitzchak. What was the test? So I'm going to explain it to you in depth today, the test of the burial of Sarah. Most of Avraham Avinu's nisyonot, his tests, were the fact that God told him one thing and the opposite came true. An example. God told Abraham, leave your birthplace and your hometown and go to a place that I'm going to show you, and you're going to be blessed, and you're going to be wealthy, and you're going to have all the good things in the world. So he went. He got to the land of Canaan. He fulfilled the divine decree. What happened when he got to Canaan? There was a famine. Abraham can scratch his head and say, I don't understand. You told me to go to this place, it's going to be a beracha. You can't even get a piece of bread. What kind of beracha? I was better off when I was home. Where's the blessing? Where's the fame? Where's all the goodness? So you see, the test, the first test of Abraham, God told him one thing, and the opposite happened. And the greatness of Abraham was, he didn't question. He didn't say, oh, what kind of, it's a hoax. It's a sham. It's a fake out. No, he didn't question God. Avraham Avinu's faith was intact, perfect, even though it's a contradiction. It doesn't make sense. You told me, go there, there's beracha. I got there, you can't even get a piece of bread. What was the beracha? Avraham Avinu was so loyal, like we say in the prayers every day. Umatzata et levavo ne'eman lefadecha. You know what ne'eman means? Loyal. Somebody that's loyal doesn't question, doesn't second guess, doesn't have an ounce of skepticism in his brain. God said, but I don't understand. Not my business to understand everything of God. Obviously God knows what he's doing. If my limited brain doesn't understand it, because I'm limited, but God knows best, and therefore he keeps quiet. And he's totally at peace with himself, no problem. That's the first test. That in the face of contradiction, Avraham Avinu does not lose any faith. What was the last test? The last test, Akedah Yitzhak. God tells Avraham, you see your son Yitzhak, from him you're going to have many children. From him you're going to be a father of a great nation. From Yitzhak is going to come your progeny. Oh, thank you very much, God. 2 years later, what does God tell Avraham? Take Yitzhak and put him on the Mizbeach, slaughter him. What are you talking about? There's no way in the world these two statements can coexist. It's a collision. If he's going to become my descendants, he can be a sacrifice. If he's going to be a sacrifice, the descendants can't. You can. These two statements cannot coexist. Avraham Avinu now is baffled, and it's the same God. There's only one God. How could God tell me on Monday Yitzhak is going to be your pride and joy? Your whole family is going to come from Yitzhak. Oh, thank you, Borei Olam. The next day, what does God tell him? Oh, he's hot? Put him on the Mizbeach, slaughter him. But you just told me. We would say that. Avraham doesn't question God, even though there's no answer to the question. Because sometimes the Gemara, I know most of you ladies don't learn Gemara, but in the Gemara, sometimes the Gemara asks a question, and it's such a strong question, the Gemara says, Tiyufta. Tiyufta means there's no answer. It's broken. You can't answer it. This was Tiyufta. There's no way you can reconcile these two statements. He's going to become your progeny of descendants and slaughter him on the Mizbeach. Something has to give. Avraham Avinu doesn't question. He goes loyally and he fulfills the will of God. That's a lesson for us all, by the way. You see, we're not like Avraham Avinu. We come into this world and it has to make sense to us. Oh, we're smarter than Avraham. And if it doesn't make sense, already we have claims, we have questions, and everybody wants to know, I'm righteous. Why did this happen to me? She's not as righteous as I am. Why is she married and I'm not? Why did she have children and I not? Why she has money and I not? Why she have health and I... So on and so forth. I do mitzvot, I'm kind, I do everything good. Why does Borei Olam do this to me? And whatever the other person, oh, questions, everybody has million and one questions on God. And if I was running the world, I would do it this way, and I would do it that way, and it's not fair, and there's no justice. All day long, the questions are zooming through our minds. Everybody feels, to a certain extent, they got shortchanged, they got gypped. The greatness of Avraham Avinu is, with all the questions, he has no questions. He goes, God said, because God knows best. And if Borei Olam tells him to do something, even though he doesn't understand it in his brain, Avraham has enough faith to say, God knows what he's doing. And you know what, ladies? People that live like that, it always turns out good for them. Avraham went to Canaan, there was a famine. But at the end of the day, everything worked out. The famine ended, Avram came back to Canaan, and he ended up inheriting the land. Akedat Yitzchak, everything worked out for the best. He didn't have to slaughter his son in the end of the day. And at the end, exactly like God said, God didn't tell him to slaughter his son. God told him, Ha'alehu le'ola, raise him on the Mizbeah. Okay, you put him on the Mizbeah, now take him down. That's what I told you to do. Oh, you thought I meant Ha'alehu means slaughter him? That's your mistake. I didn't say slaughter him. I said, raise him on the Mizbeah. Okay, now then bring him down. Game over. Those that have faith, it usually works out for them for the best. What was the test of the death of Sarah Imenu? Simple interpretation, the test was like this. After the Akedat Yitzhak is over, God gives Abraham the most wonderful blessings. Oh, what a blessing. Ki barech abarechecha. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be doubly blessed. I'm going to bless your descendants. I love you, Abraham. You're considered my beloved one, Abraham. Oh, Havi. The most beautiful blessings. You know, on the high holidays, we read the story of Akedat Yitzhak. And that Aliyah, when God blesses Abraham, ki barecha barechecha, oh, this goes for a lot of money. Everybody loves to get that Aliyah, the Torah, where we're reading the words, ki barecha barechecha. And here Abraham Avinu is, he just climbed Mount Everest, he's on top of his spiritual career, and God's telling him, I love you, you're great, the blessings are yours, phenomenal, azabu baruch. Abraham is thrilled. He said, I have to thank God for this. Let me go back to my headquarters in Be'er Sheva, where I built my Chesed Empire, it's a holy place. Let me bring an altar and sacrifice to God. He brings the Thanksgiving Korban, and after he finishes, he gets a message, Sarah died. And how did she die? A messenger came and told the information that you went and slaughtered your son. She didn't get the whole story. And before they were able to tell her that he made it alive, she got so scared and she died.
Why?
And now Abraham again is faced with a contradiction. God, you just told me I love you, I'm going to bless you, everything's good, Hazaka Baruch, there's nobody like you. And what happens right after the blessing? His wife dies as a result of the Akedat Yitzhak, shall I say. And again, the greatness of Abraham Avinu is what? Like a soldier. He goes back to Hebron. He buries his wife. Doesn't question God. He can have a good question. Hey God, did I hear you correctly? Didn't you just tell me, ki barecha, barechecha, this is the blessing? That you take my wife in such a way? Doesn't question. But even more, he needs to bury her. So he buys a piece of property. The property is the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. You can go see it today. It's still there in Hebron. It's unbelievable. And he's negotiating with the people that owned it. Back and forth. Take it for nothing, they tell him. After the negotiations were finished, he ended up paying a pretty penny for the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. A lot of money. Not only didn't they give it to him for free, but they overcharged him. That's the Rishaim. The Rishaim, they always talk big and they do nothing. You have to know that rule. Tzaddikim, they always say a little, but they do much more than they say. What's a tzaddik? Tzaddik, come to my house, I'll give you something to drink. And then when you sit down, they bring out drink and fruit and cake. Well, oh, you only said drink. I can only give you a drink. Tzaddikim, they always say a little, but they do much more than they say. The wicked people, they say a lot. Come over, we'll eat, I'll give you a steak, I'll give you a dessert, I'll give you drinks, we'll have wine. Okay, you go to his house, the door's locked and nobody's home. That's the Rishaim. Big talkers, they talk a lot. They do nothing. They told Abraham, take it, it's yours, it's yours, take it. Okay, I'll take it. Okay, give us $250,000. What do you mean? You just said take it for free. Good. Abraham Avinu has a question. I take it back. Abraham has no questions. I have a question. Who does the land of Canaan belong to? Who does Hebron belong to? Abraham. Didn't God give Abraham the land? Yeah, he has the deed. That was God's blessing. The land of Israel is yours. Now, in the land that God gave him, he can't even get a plot for his wife. He has to pay through the nose on a property that's his. If I was Abraham, God, what kind of blessing is this? Who needs such a blessing? You gave me the land, I have the deed. You talked to me 50 times. Every time you talk to me, the land is yours, your land, the Zaraka, Berit, it's yours. Okay, good, it's mine. Can I have a land? It's a little square footage of land for the berry set out, not such a big lady. I just need a little piece of land. $250,000, please. But it's my land. It doesn't question. So the greatness of Abraham again in this story is, in the face of contradiction, loyalty. Good. But now I'm going to explain it to you on a deeper level. And this I'm getting really from the words of the Ramban. The Ramban writes, V'nichteva zot ha-parasha lehodiya hasdei Hashem im Abraham shaya nesi Elohim ba'aretz asher ba lagur sham v'yachid v'chol ha'am ayu koreim lo Adoni v'gam b'chayav kiyem lo v'agadela shemecha v'yeh beracha. Listen to explanation with the Ramban, I think, is saying over here. This test was different than all the other tests. All the other tests didn't make sense to Abraham. And the greatness was, he closed his mind and just did what God told him to do. Go to Canaan, you're going to have a blessing. He went, there's a famine. I don't know, no questions. Slaughter your son Yitzhak. What about my descendants? No questions. Abraham, Hazak Baruch, he did the Akedah Yitzhak. You're going to be blessed. The land is yours. Where's the blessing? His wife dies and the land he has to pay for. He doesn't ask questions. But on this scenario, it was on a higher level. Because there's one thing to be tested and not ask questions on God. But there's a higher level. As a person is going through difficulty, to see the goodness of God. That's a much higher level. It's one thing where I don't complain, where I don't take a glass and throw it against the wall because I'm upset. Okay, Sadiq, oh, look at his patience, look at his tolerance, he's calm. But there's another level that as a person is going through tough times, he says, how good is Borei Olam? Oh, God is so good to me. God is so kind to me. What? During this time you're saying God is so kind to you? Yes, absolutely. You have a person, Bar Minan, in the hospital. So, suffering or something, whatever he's suffering. So it's a big level where people say he doesn't complain. We visit him every day, not a bad word, he doesn't complain. We never saw a person like this, and it's a big thing. But there's a higher level. Not only doesn't he complain, he all day long thanking Borei Olam. What a good doctor I have, what a good nurse I have. What a beautiful day, what a sunny day, God gave me the sun so I could look out the window. Wow, what a dinner they gave me last night in the hospital. They're so nice, the visitors that are coming to... What? You're seeing silver lining in Yisurim? That's the highest level a person could reach. Till now, Abraham endured tests. He didn't question God. But when it came to this over here, during his endurance of burying his wife, let me tell you what happened to him. God promised Abraham Avinu many years before, you are going to become famous. V'agadela shemecha. Did Abraham become famous? Oh, there was nobody as famous as Abraham Avinu. And how do you know it? From this week's parasha. What happened? When he's buying the property, so the people that are selling it to him refer to him as Adoni. What is Adoni? My master. They call Abraham my master. Not only that, they tell him, Nesi Elohim ata betochenu. Abraham, you're a prince amongst us. You're royalty. You're a nobleman. The blessing of God came true. And at that moment, Abraham Avinu appreciated and showed gratitude to God. Thank you for Borei Olam. Look how they're talking to me. But your wife is... Even at the time of Tsar, he appreciated the fact that the blessing of God came true, even under these circumstances. I'm going to tell you how famous Abraham was. There's another name for Hebron. Anybody know the other name of Hebron? I finally got you on a question you don't know. You're right, Kiryat Arba. Okay, I thought I got you. Kiryat Arba. Till today, if you go to Israel, it's called Kiryat Arba. Why Kiryat Arba? The Gemara gives two reasons. Arba is four. Because the four couples are buried in Hebron. Who's the four couples? Adam and Hava, Avraham and Sarah, Yitzhak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. So the four couples are buried in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, so they call the place Kiryat Arba. Beautiful. I love that interpretation. But Rashi brings another reason. You know why it's called Kiryat Arba? Because in that town lived four giants. You ask me what a giant is? I don't know what a giant is. I never saw a giant. It's not a football giants. We're talking over here, giants. I don't know what a giant is. Monsters, giants, big giborim, that they were famous. Everybody knew, oh, don't go over there, the giants live over there. They were monsters. I don't know what they were. Humongous people over there. So influential were these giants that they named the place Kiryat Arba, the place of the four giants. And the Torah gives us their names, Achiman, Sheshai, Talmai. So I'm bothered. Why do I have to know that giants lived in the land? What's the difference? That the parasha has to tell me, Avraham bought the Ma'arat HaMachpelah in a place called Kiryat Arba. You should know Kiryat Arba, that's where the giants live. What does that got to do for me? It doesn't teach me anything. You know what the Hadush is? When they sold them the land, it says they had a meeting with the board of, I guess, the zoning board of Hebron to see if they could sell them the property. And the whole city came to Avraham to validate the sale. It says, Lechol ba'er sha'ar iro. The entire town came to wish Avraham success and good, and they all respected him and gave him the biggest honors. And you know who came to that meeting? The four giants. Could you imagine? Even the four giants were scared of Avraham Avinu. They came and they treated Avraham, you're a prince amongst us. You're a nobleman. Even the giants referred to Avraham as Adoni. And therefore the blessing of God came true that not only regular people feared Avraham Avinu, but even the people that people feared, they feared Avraham. Therefore the Torah is telling us he was in Kiryat Arba. The blessing of God that you're going to become famous and you're going to become popular came true in the fullest sense of the word. That even the giants came and they humbled themselves in front of Avraham Avinu. And the Torah is coming to tell us that Avraham recognizes and he was appreciative of it. That's a higher level. To see the goodness of God even when a person is going through hard times, which means, I'm going to say it so clear that you can understand it. I want to say it crystal clear. That means if you would go to Avraham on that day, wow, Avraham, what a day you're having. Hazit, your wife died. You're buying a property that belongs to you. And Avraham said, what are you talking about? Look at the respect that they're giving me, the blessing of God. Look at this, you believe it? Look at these giants, this guy, Jah's guy, bowing to me, giving me kavod. You believe what's going on over here? God is so good to me. He told me that I'm going to be popular, and it came true. That's what you took out of this day? What about all the troubles? There's troubles? I don't see any troubles. Look what a zechut I have. I'm able to bury my wife in a grave. The Ramban says, Avraham was appreciative. How do you know? It says, when Avraham was talking to the people that he bought it from, it says he bowed to them. Why did he bow to them? He bowed twice. The first bowing is a bowing of greetings. In the olden days, that's the way they would greet each other. They would bow. Even if you go to Japan or China, that's the way they greet each other. And I was in a hotel in Hong Kong once. Every time the waiter or the bellboy or somebody in the hotel passes you, they're not allowed to be higher than you. So they pass you like this. They bow. Kureimu mishtahabim. They bow in front of you. So Avraham wasn't Chinese, obviously. But they had the same custom that when they would greet each other, he bowed. But the second time he bowed, you know what the Midrash says? After the sale was completed, he bowed to Borei Olam. Thank you, God, for giving me the zechut that I have a plot that I can bury my wife. Which means we're looking at it, Hazit, what a day, what troubles. And Avraham Avinu, oh, God is so good to me. This is a higher level. To see a silver lining at a time where a person is being tested, this is of the highest madriga. We go further. I'm going to tell you an interesting halakha. There's a special blessing that we make from time to time. It's called Birkat HaGomer. I don't know if you ever heard of this blessing, Birkat HaGomer. The ladies make this blessing as well. When do we make the blessing? So the Gemara says, in one of four situations. Let's say a person, Bar Minan, was sick. They were in bed, even for one day. And they got out of bed, they had their bed, they had the flu, the, God forbid, a cold, where they were in bed. When they get out of bed, they have to go in front of 10 people, and they have to thank Borei Olam. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, with a blessing, and Gomer, Hayavim Tovot, Shekvarani Kol Tov, thank you for giving me the Refuah Shelema, God. When a person goes in prison, Bar Minan, and he's let out of prison, even for one night. Even one night in prison is dangerous. They let him out, he goes to shul the next day, he makes the Berachat HaGomer for the 10 men. A person was in a dangerous place, for example, the Gemara says he was in the woods, in the fields, traveling. And there's wild animals, and there's all sorts of things, and he finds his road, he gets back to civilization, he makes the Berachat. Or, if a person's on a boat, and there's a storm on the boat, and the boat is going to sink, or whatever it may be, dangerous. So when he gets back to land, he has to make a beracha. That's halakha says. Today we make the beracha, for example, we get on a plane, and we travel over water, we make the beracha as well. Even if you don't travel over water. The person goes on a plane for 72 minutes, they have to already say Birkat HaGomer when they come back. How do the ladies make a gomel? I don't know. We don't have lady minyanim, obviously. They could tell the husband to make it for them and have them in mind. A lady gives birth, for example. After a lady gives birth, it's like she was bedridden. Our custom is, on the night of the Zohar, when 10 men come over to the house to read the Zohar, the night before the Brit, so the lady comes downstairs for a minute, she takes a sidur, she makes a Birkat HaGomer in front of the men, Bitzni'ut of course, and she fulfills the obligation. I prayed with Rachel and Majam many times on Shabbat. There were ladies in the ladies section. After they finished Sefer Torah, you hear a lady in the ladies section, Baruch Ata, what's going on with me? Bat Kol from the ladies section. And she would make the barakah. She said, Gomer, it's Amen, it's fine. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. That's a problem. I didn't say she was a Hazan. She's in the ladies section. You couldn't see her. It's a voice. That's what you see. Dulati Kol, only a voice. Sharif Siyan, they won't let you do it. They won't let you throw you out. Over here, we'll let you do it. In any event, listen to this story. What I never understood about this Gemara is the following. The guy went on a boat. Beautiful, he's enjoying himself, he was on a cruise. All of a sudden, the captain says, everybody go back to their rooms, there's a storm, take out your Tehillim books, pray, Shema Yisrael, Tahal Mavet. And the boat is going up and down. Ya'alu shamayim, yirdu tehomot. And that's it. La'uniyah shebal hishabim, like the Pasuk says. They're scared the boat is going to fall apart. Miracle of miracles. Yakem sa'arad et mama vayihashu gamehem. Vayismihu ki yishtoku. The sea quiets down. The waves settle down. Vayanhaim al mehoz hafsam. They get back to the destination. So you have to thank Borei Olam. So my question was, what are you thanking Borei Olam? Thank you, God, for saving me from the dangerous waters. But hold it. You put me in the dangerous waters. Don't put me in the dangerous waters and don't save me. A person walking in the street. So I punched the guy in the nose. Now he's bleeding, but Minan. I said, oh, wait, here's a handkerchief and here's ice. Oh, thank you very much for healing me. What do you mean? You punched me in the nose. What are you talking about? Thank you for healing me. A person gets sick, he's sick in bed. So after he gets better, he comes up, oh, I appreciate that you got me better. Well, hold it, what kind of thank you? You're the one that got me sick. I would wish you didn't get me sick in the first place, that you don't have to get me better. Don't punch me in the nose and don't give me a napkin. Yeah, you understand my question? But you know what the explanation is? When you're making the Berachat HaGomer, you're making the Berachat not only that he got you better, but thank you for Borei Olam even for getting me sick. Who wants to get sick? We don't know, but Borei Olam, if that's what you did, must be for my good. Because a father only does things that are good for the child. Even when he punishes the child, it's for the good of the child. And you might not always see it, but we say to Borei Olam, thank you for getting me better, but I appreciate it as well that the sickness also had a value. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't see it. But it's understood that a father will not hurt a child. You see a boy running around in the Bet Knesset. You don't know who his father is. You see him running around. You're looking, who's the father of this guy? All of a sudden somebody calls him, come here boy, come here. He comes to him, he takes out a lollipop, and he gives it to him. Is that the father? You don't know. You know why you don't know? Because anybody can give a child a lollipop. You don't have to be the father. All of a sudden another fellow says, hey boy, come here, give me your hand. He hits him, stop running in the synagogue. That's the father. Lollipops, anybody can give, but a hit? Only the father's allowed to hit. Only the mother's allowed to hit. That's a privilege or a right of a parent. Who are you to hit my child? I'm the father. Or the father, you have a right to, because you have a right to educate him. You have to set him straight. When a person goes through afflictions, you have to know only God has a right to hit. That means Borei Olam is hitting you. And that's a tremendous consolation to anybody that goes through difficulty, because you have to know an angel has no right to hit. A messenger has no right to hit. Only God can hit. And therefore, God's dealing with you. So the consolation, even through difficult times, is, God, I know you're with me. You're the one that's hitting me. At least your hand is on me. At least I know my name is on your desk. You're dealing with me. That's why I told you many times, the worst month on the Jewish calendar is the month where the two temples were destroyed, Jerusalem was destroyed, the Inquisition, World War I, World War II, the worst month of the year. What's the name of that month? Av. Av is a father. Because specifically in that month, that's when you see the fatherhood of God. Pesach is lollipops. Lollipops you don't see too much. Anybody give lollipops. Shavuot, candy. Anybody give candy. Oh, but hitting, giving a hit, that's Av. That must be the father. So that's also a consolation. Borei Olam, the sickness that you brought must be for a reason. And therefore, I'm taking you twofold. Thank you for the redemption, and thank you for the fact that I got hurt in the first place. But I'll give you one cute story. I told you this story many times. I'll give you a story again. It's good to hear stories. Now, I'm not going to tell you the names of the people, even though I know these people. There was one time, there was a girl. She went on a trip. She went on a trip skiing. Okay, you're allowed to go skiing, nothing wrong with it. They were getting off the bus, the kids, off the skiing bus, the coach bus. The girl tripped on the steps and broke her ankle. Now, that's not the most exciting way to break an ankle on a ski trip. If a person says, oh, you broke your leg, oh, I was on a double diamond black trail, and the mogul, oh, that's already, something worth telling a story. If somebody comes off from a ski trip, oh, you broke your ankle, I tripped on the steps of the coach bus. You don't even have to walk up steps? You're going skiing, you can't even walk up steps? It's a funny accident. So, they flew her home. And now the doctor said, you have to be in bed for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. You can't move. You can't do anything. What are you going to do for 6 weeks in bed? Boredom, etc. So, I don't know exactly the details too much. Somehow, to pass the time, she started listening to tapes. Tapes of rabbis. Rabbi Diamond tape, put it on, listen to it. Unbelievable. Hiddushim, I never heard this stuff before. One tape, two tapes. Now, in bed, you can listen to 20 tapes a day. She started listening. A world, a new world, new world, life. After she finished this recovery, she said, I have to meet the rabbi. I'm only known from the CDs. I have to go see the rabbi. Where is this man? The man is right over there. You can go hear him live. I'll go hear him live. So she still had to attend the rabbi's class. Better than the tape. You see, this is Hadushim. We never heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. We never heard Hadushim like this. Okay? Where do we get more of this? More of this? What are you thinking more? Maybe in Israel I can go. Maybe they have more. She wakes up one day and she goes to her parents. So you know what? I'm going to Israel. Going to Israel. You're a 21 years old girl. You have to get married. Where are you going to Israel? No, I need to understand what's going on over here. There's something going on. I need to understand. Who's gonna pay for this? I don't actually pay for it. I have my own money. Goodbye. Bought a ticket, went to Israel for however many months, whatever it is. Comes back. Different girl. Ma, I want to marry only a rabbi that studies Torah. What are you talking about? What happened to you? You got hit by lightning? Something happened to you? A book fell on your head? We have to drop you again on your head to reset you. What happened to you? And sure enough, the rest is history. Everybody lives happily ever after this story. But my point to tell you is, that person that broke the ankle, when she made Birkat HaGomer, she didn't only thank God that he healed the ankle. Borei Olam, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. An angel was on that bus that day. Malach, God sent the Malach from behind her to push her off the bus. Because she has Olam Abba because of this. She has eternity because of this. See, now all the spiritual accomplishments and the legacy of whatever happens, that's because of the sickness. So you see, in that case over there, it's a perfect example. Now that's the case where you see it. Well, you see how the trouble led to something unbelievable. But even if you don't see it, it's like that. And that's the greatness of Avraham Avinu. That at a time of trouble, he still says, God, you're still good to me. You're still kind to me. You're still doing goodness to me. Look, at the end of the day, you did give me a burial spot for my wife. Okay, so I had to pay for it. It's okay, it's only money. And at the end of the day, look at the popularity you gave me. Your blessings came true. That's what the Ramban means when it says, "V'nichteva zot parasha lehodia hasdei Hashem im Avraham," to reinforce to us the Hasadim. She'aya nasi Elohim ve'ishto meta v'nikvera v'nachalat Hashem, and that was the test. Not only not to complain, but to be happy and to appreciate. But again, this is Avraham Avinu, we're human beings. I'll tell you one halakha in the Torah and I'll let you go. We've got as much more to say. It's good, we did good today. We're doing good now in these classes. We're giving you insights that are very important that you hear these insights. I'm very happy. I'm very happy with the level now of the class and these insights. It's very important that you know these things. These are, a lot of the men don't know these insights. I don't have time to say it over to them like we have. So it's good, you're learning good. There's a Qurban in the Torah. There's many types of sacrifices. One sacrifice is called Qurban Oleh V'Yored. That's what it means. Oleh means goes up. Yored means goes down. It's an elevator. Oleh V'Yored. What type of Qurban? Oleh V'Yored. It's a Qurban that has different prices to it, depending how much money the sinner has. If the sinner is a rich person, he brings an animal. If the sinner is a poor person, he brings birds. Birds are cheaper. So the Qurban fluctuates. It's Oleh V'Yored. Sometimes it's expensive, sometimes it's cheap, depending on who the guy is. They come to the Beit HaMikdash, they tell him, listen, could you afford to buy an animal? How much is the animal? $500. Oh, no problem. He brings the first class Qurban. Another guy comes in, I made a sin. Okay? $500? No, not $500. What do you have? I have $50. $50? Okay, bring two pigeons. It also counts. But the problem is like this. The guy that brings an animal, brings one animal to kapara. Echad mechatat. To atone for the sin. But the guy that brings the birds, he has to bring two birds. One for hatat, to atone for the sin, and another for ola, kurban ola. Ola is a bird that goes on the mizbeach. Why would you have to bring a kurban ola? Korban Ola is usually brought for somebody that has a bad thought. Sins of thought. Sins in the mind. This guy didn't make a sin in the mind. He made a sin. Let him bring one bird for Korban Hatat. What does he have to bring Korban Ola for? You know what the Ibn Ezra answers? When this poor guy comes to the Mizbeach and he's bringing his birds, you know what goes through his mind? Why am I poor and my friend is rich? We both committed the same sin. Look at this guy. He can afford to bring a big fat animal on the Mizbeach. I could spend the 500 bucks and I have to bring this miserable little bird over here. In his brain, he's questioning God. Borei Olam is able to read the minds of people. God says, Mr. Poor Man, you better bring two sacrifices. One for the sin and one for those foul thoughts that you had. One for those bad thoughts. You're questioning me? Why are you not like that guy? Why don't you have enough money? You better atone for those sins as well. And that's the Musar of here. Not only can you question Borei Olam, but even at the time of tribulation, the biggest consolation is that God is Av. You feel the hand of God on you. That's the biggest consolation. But even more so, during the time of trouble, even the trouble has a silver lining in it. And that's the greatness of Avraham Avinu. And that's the 11th test. It's really the 10th test, but I'm calling it the 11th. And this never happened yet. All the other tests, I don't have questions on God. Then Avraham reached the highest madriga. Not only don't have questions, but I love him when he's doing this to me as well. And therefore, he saw even sugar when there was bitterness. Yidasom, we should be zocher, ladies. Borei Olam shouldn't test us. We don't want to be tested. Every day we pray. Lo li v'nisayon, ve'lo li v'nisayon. Don't test us. We don't want to be embarrassed. But this is what life is. Life is a constant test. At least Borei Olam should make it sweet for us, the test. It shouldn't be so difficult. And we should pass them. But more importantly, even when people are going through things, which people are going through things, nobody's free. Avraham had 10 tests. That's 10 major tests. But he had a million tests. 10 SATs, 10, big examinations. But he went through a million tests a day, like all of us. And Be'ezat Hashem, just like he passed them, Ma'aseh Avosim and the Banim will pass our tests as well.